So we're in the middle of discussing a group of topics, again, just to remind everybody what we're trying to do here. Yavamos is a very vast Masechta, and so we're trying to pick out some patterns, especially across the first two prakim, or so three prakim, really. So what we've been discussing is the fact that, the cases of the Mishnah, the 15 arayos, which are excluded from Nibam and Chalitza, so there are two ways, or two, let's say, outstanding characteristics of those exclusions. One, of course, is the fact that they're chayve krisos, and or more. I mean, some of them are more than chayve krisos. They're minimally chayve krisos, and the general rule is, with one or two exceptions, including nida, which we'll talk about hopefully next time, that in chayve krisos, there's no tfisas kedushin, even according to the Chachamim, which is the way that we paskin. So, in a way, when we say there are 15 arayos, which are not candidates for yibum, and not only that, their candidacy, undermines anybody else's candidacy, all the co-wives. So on one level, we could just explain that very simply, and that is there are chayvi krisos, or more, and therefore there can't be tfisas ishus, just like there can't be tfisas kedushin, assuming that the zika or the kiyum yibum, operates according to the same standards that regular ishus does. That's not so obvious. Maybe that isn't true. But all things being equal, that's a very reasonable assumption. And therefore, the problem is you cannot implement yibum in these 15 cases. Quite separate from that, there's another way to look at it. And that is that, it isn't the fact of the, tfisas ishus, it's the candidacy itself. Meaning if somebody's an erva, aside from eshes ach, which of course is yibum, and that's where you get to hutra and dechuya and so on, but every other erva can't be a yibum candidate. Forget about, you shouldn't even have to get to the point of tfisas kedushin, just because it's the iser, the inappropriateness, that's not a marriage partner if somebody is an erva. Now, having said that, both of these things could be true, but at least both of these elements are perspectives that are valid when discussing candidates for yibum. So what we're trying to do right now is to isolate these factors from each other. Like, are there cases where the problem is you cannot implement the yibum, but otherwise there's no erva? Or what about cases where there's erva or something like it, but actually there's no problem, no ikuv in implementing the ishus? So the first one that we discussed was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion throughout Shas, but it's really rooted in the Mishnah, two Mishnayos in Yavamos, Mishnah Mem Dal and Omer Aleph, and the Mishnah Mem Tesam and Aleph, both of which we've seen. But then Rabbi Akiva is quoted throughout Shas, and that there's no Tfisas Kedushin, and there is Mamzerus B'chai V'Lavin. Maybe only Chai V'Lavin Shel She'er, maybe any Chai V'Lavin, maybe even Essen, different perspectives within Rabbi Akiva. The point is Rabbi Akiva has a much lower standard. The question is, since the evidence, as Bali Tosis point out, seems to be that Rabbi Akiva's view carries over into Yibum and Chalitza. Namely, that there is no Yibum and there's no Chalitza, according to Rabbi Akiva, for Chayve Lavin. But there, Tosa says, don't we encounter a problem because we have a rule, Asei Doche Los Asei, right? And if it's only a Chayve Lavin, so the Mitzasei of Yibum, should override. I mean, you should be able to do Yibum. You should be able to have the Kinyan and the Mitzvah of Yibum. So that's the question. How come there's no mitzvah of Yibum and Kiyum Yibum according to Rabbi Akiva if Asei is Doche Los Asei? So in discussing that question, what we saw in the Rishonim is that, Tosis just kind of throws up their hands and that's a really good question. And I think that's because Bali Tosis in general are much more focused on the ability to implement Yibum. If there's no obstruction or obstacle, to doing the act of Yibum, then Bali Tosa say, then there should be Yibum. And that's why they had a lot of trouble with Rabbi Akiva. On the other hand, a lot of the Chachmei Sfarad, you know, Ramban and his school and so on, were of the opinion that the real issue, or the bigger issue, certainly the Rambam, I think, held this way, is the problem of the status of Erva, or the lack of Tfisas Kedusha. Not the obstacle, you know, to actually doing the act of Yibam. And therefore, they all gave answers for Rabbi Akiva. They said, listen, it may be true that Aseh is Dokhalos Aseh, but it's still either an Erva, according to Rabbi Akiva, or a circumstance which doesn't allow for Tfisas Ishus, and that is the key aspect of it. Then, in addition to that, there's another discussion, you know, about that, and that is a Tosis on Yudam and Aleph, which we're going to discuss more fully tonight, thought that, according to Rabbi Akiva, there's also a Ptur Tzara, meaning not only are Chayvei Lavan excluded from Yibum, but in addition to that, the Tzara of Chayvei Lavan are excluded from Yibum. So Rabbi Akiva never says that anywhere explicitly. The Balei Tosas on Yud Amud Aleph, Agav, just in a very, like, you know, they just mention it. You know, they assume it. And what we saw is that the Chiddush HaGriz, that Rav Elbel, really disputes it. He's very unhappy with it. He says it's one thing, you know, to say that, you know, Tfisas Kiddushin, you know, will be Koveya, that there, you know, is no Yibam B'chalitza. But if there's no Shame Erva, because Chayvei Lavan don't appear in Parshas Achrei Mos, you know, or Kedoshim. Now again, one view in the Tosa Rush was, Rabbi Akiva thinks these are Ervas, even though they're not in Achrei Mos. I'm adding the even though, he doesn't say that, but Tosa Rush says that, there's some limud for Rabbi Akiva, that these are also under the rubric, you know, of Erva. So once you say that, you know, then there can be Tzaras Erva. But the Grizz wasn't, you know, looking at that Ramban, and again, he was talking about Tosis anyway, so he said, I don't see why, it's one thing to say there's no Yibam and Chalitza because there's no Tfisas Kedusha, but to say that just because there's no Tfisas Kedusha, even if there's no Erva, you know, that there is Tzaras Erva, he said, that's a big problem. Then he tries to be Miyashi, but that's what he says. Anyway, so our first example was Rabbi Akiva, because that's a case where there seems to be conditions that validate the Maisa Bia, the Maisa Yibum. Therefore, you can justify the action of Yibum, but there seem to be like more formal obstacles about the candidacy, you know, worthiness, you know, of the woman who is Chayvei Lavan. Okay, so our next case, which I think we began last time, also was Andaf Yud Amud Aleph, and that's a case of Eishes Ish. So, what constitutes she'er is a little bit of a question, you know. But, I mean, Masa Grusha So, probably.
That's not she'er, is it?
Well, because it used to be, it's a former relative. There's a big question whether Sota is considered a lav she'er. If you want to look very quickly at the Tosis on Mem Tes Amud Aleph, talks about an expanded list. But for example, the Makar on Mem Dalin Amud Aleph, which I think we read, is Lo Yigale Knaf Aviv. So on Nusas Aviv is considered to be a Lav Shel She'er, in the sense that the Lav has to do with your relationship with your father, but it's only a Lav, it's not Chayvei Krisus, because it's not his wife. So that's like the Makar for Lav Shel She'er that the Gemara has here on, if you look here for a second, on Mem Dalin Amud Aleph, Gemara says, here, one second, Ezu Mamzer Kol She'er Basar Shehu Belo Yavo, yeah? Dibur Rabbi Akiva. And then so the Gemara says that that's what the Gemara says. And then later on Mem Tes Amud Aleph, on the second Mishnah, the Gemara says, "My Tama de Rabbi Akiva," on the Gemara on here, "the Sivla Yikach Ish Es Eishes Aviv Le Gale Knaf Aviv." That's what I was just quoting. Knaf Shera Aviv. That's the She'er part. Lo Yigale. The Savar La Karab Yehuda Damar Banusa Savar Vakasa Medaber. The Havale Chayve Lavin. It's not Eishes Aviv, which is Chayv Misa. So that's the Makar. Now, if you look at Tosas, since you're asking, you know, one of the cases on Mem Dalid Amud Aleph in the Mishnah, the first case for Rabbi Akiva is Maksa Grushaso, meaning the Iser, meaning she was his wife, and then she remarried, and then she divorced, right, or her husband died after, you know, and then she wants to remarry him again, or he wants her to remarry, whatever. They want to remarry again. So that's the Iser. So Masu Grushaso is the first. It says Masu Grushaso, Nosa Chalutzaso, Nosa Kovas Chalutzaso, Yotzi Vlad Mamzer Div Rabbi Kiva. On Mem Tes, Amud Aleph, back in the other Mishnah in Gemara, if you look at Tosos, Dibra Maschil, Hakol Modim, Bidbala, Nidavi Alasota, we'll talk more about this later. So, there's a line in here of Rabbeinu Tam, where Rabbeinu Tam wants to expand Lav Shol She'er to include not only Masa Grushaso, but also Sota. Vinir Rabbeinu Tam. See the bottom line of Tosas?
Yeah.
I mean, you asked, right?
Vinir
Rabbeinu Tam. The Masa Grushaso, the Sota Havachai Bilavin to She'er. She'inam Asurim Elam Yishum Ishus. Meaning they understood your question. Like, well, what's the She'er here? You know, Knaf Aviv, you know, that the father's the She'er. Where's the She'er here? The answer is because it's through Ishus. Other Rishonim disagree with them. And some imply that there's a difference between Matsu Grushaso and Sota. Okay. Anyway, it's a question. It's a good question. Like, what exactly is... Do we understand why, once we have the category, do we understand why Lav She'er might be different than regular Lav? And that for sure we understand. Meaning it's a more... it's not just the severity of the offense, you know, but it's relevant to you know, a pagam in Ishus itself. Okay. Anyways, so let's go back to Yud Amud Aleph. So Tosas on Yud Amud Aleph talks about the problem of Eishes Ish. We started with this last week. I want to go through this. I don't know if we'll go through the whole thing, but again, so what does it mean, Eishes Ish? As I said last week, you know, even when you say the words, you start scratching your head. You know, what do you mean that a candidate for Yibum, you know, should maybe be disqualified because she's an Eishes Ish? Huh? The whole point is that she was married to his brother, and the brother died. How could she be an Eishes Ish? So it's got to be some sort of a, you know, extraordinary case. Either where she's married to two people at the same time, as we'll see later. You know, the Gemara has such cases, or at least some, you know, views that there are such cases. We'll see later on. I'll tell you now what it is, but... You know, the Gemara has a couple of cases. One of them is the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Samech, which Tosas quotes, you know, already two-thirds of the way down, or three-quarters. And that is, the Gemara says, Harei at mekudeshesli me'achshav ula'achar shishim yom. Right? So he gives her a kesef of Kiddushin, and he says, you know, we want this Kiddushin to be chal in 60 days, but retroactively, from now. I mean, in 60 days, she'll be his wife from now. That's called a tnai me'achsha, a retroactive condition. Oh, you know. And then somebody else is mekadesh, so is she married right now? You know. Limbo, like she's in time limbo, you know, like a sci-fi movie, you know. Like right now, in prospective time, she's not married. But after 60 days, she'll have been married from now, right? So then, you know, of course, you know, the next thing that happens to her is that she gets a better offer, you know, and somebody says to her, Zareh Mekudeshesli, Me'ach Shavalachar Chamishim Yom. So after 50 days, you know, she's first in a way, who's she married to first? The answer is, she was Mekabel Kiddushin from Reuven, who said Shishim Yom, right? But, you know, she's now Mekabel Kiddushin, that's called the Chamishim Yom, and then Arbaim Yom, and then Shloshim Yom, and then Zestrim Yom. Like, she's getting a lot of, you know, a lot of, you know, interest in the market. So, Gemara says, like, you know, most people think that's, you know, not going to work. And Rabbi Yochanan had this view that's, you know, Rav Kolechod, Ravcha, you know, Shavak, you know, so that, you know, she's mukudeshes. She can't live with anybody, but she's mukudeshes and needs a get from everybody. Right. So that's a case Gemara has later on. But firstly, so then she can be a wife of more than one person. So if one of her husbands dies, not leaving children, you know, she could be an Eishes Ish. So that's a case that they mention, you know, much later on in Tosfos. The main case that they're talking about is based on the Gemara in Gittin, in the beginning of Perek HaMegaresh, the last Perek of Gittin. And that's where either through a Tnai or through the mechanism of Chutz, right, he divorces her. Reuven is married to Sarah. And then Reuven decides to end that marriage. And what he should do is just write her a get. And the get should say, and should mean, Hareat Muteras L'chol Adam. Right? And we frown on any kind of Tanai anyway, you know, that, you know, threatens the principle of Sefer Krisus. You know, it should be a Davar HaKores Beino L'Veina. I mean, it should be a definitive get L'chol Olam. And there shouldn't be any significant, you know, conditions that make her status going forward contingent upon his, you know, agreement or anything like that. Because otherwise that's a problem, whether it's really safe for Croesus or not. However, let's say, you know, that would be the proper thing. Let's say he says to her, Harat Mukudeshesli, either Chutz Miploni, right, or Almanas, you know, Shelotinase Leploni. Okay, so again, Reuven divorces Sarah, let's say, and he says, Chutz me Shimon. Okay? Reuven divorces Sarah, and he says, Chutz me Levi. Right? I really should have said Avram. Avram divorces Sarah, because, you know, once you start doing, you know, the Shvatim, everybody knows that they're brothers, so it's just not... Okay. I mean, I hate saying that, you know, Avram divorces Sarah. It just doesn't seem right, you know. All right. For the sake of, you know, clarity, I guess we can say it. So, Avram divorces Sarah, right? And he says to her, Almana, you know, Chutz me Shimon. I mean, you can harat mutaris l'chol adam. You can marry anybody you want. You just can't marry Shimon. Shimon's my old nemesis, you know, or whatever. Or I don't think he's, you know, worthy of you or good for you or whatever it is. You know, he means well, he means badly, whatever it is. Chutz mi Shimon. Oh. So of course, and then she goes off and she marries Shimon's, you know, brother, Reuven. Now that Ishus is chal. I mean, that's not a problem at all, because the chutz didn't include Reuven, it only included Shimon. But then, of course, when Reuven dies and leaves no children, so now she's omedes li'ibum to Shimon. But if she goes through with the ishus, right, then that will trigger her being an ishus ish, or vis-a-vis, if you say chutz, so it's vis-a-vis Shimon, she's an Eishes Ish. Or, the other case, in the case of Tosfos, really, that's kind of the Yerushalmi case, which we'll see. The case that the Tosfos mostly speaks about is exactly the same case, but without a chutz, instead of like an almanas. Because there's some question whether even Rabbi Eliezer thinks that this shiur of chutz will work or not. So she says, you know, again, Avram says to Sarah, Hare at muteras l'chol adam, al tnai, not chutz mishimon, al tnai shelo tinasi l'shimon. But if she goes ahead and marries Shimon, then the get from Abraham is going to be invalidated, and then she will be an Eishes Ish. So either way, she can't really marry, you know, Shimon, just, you know, she can do it the, you know, the easy way and just, you know, stay away from him. Or, you know, if she insists, you know, then she's not going to marry him anyway. She's going to end up, you know, undoing her divorce from Abraham, and she's going to be an Eishes Ish, right? Oh. But of course, the complication is with the Yibum, meaning everybody will agree, you know, that if either in the chutz case or the almanaz case, assuming that they work, right, that, you know, she cannot be misyavemes to Shimon, right? The question is, you know, is there a p'tur tzara, p'toras erva? In other words, if she ends up consummating this yibum with Shimon, then she's going to trigger a violation of Eishes Ish. The truth is, not only will she trigger a violation of Eishes Ish, then it will have turned out, this is what's so tricky about this case, that she was never married to Reuven, and therefore she was never omedesli v'liyibum to Shimon. So it's actually, you know, if they were to go through with the yibum, there would be, you know, two opposite consequences, right? On the one hand, you know, she would, as an act of yibum, she would engender, you know, a hafka based on Eishes Ish, right? At the same time, she would have undercut her marriage to Reuven that makes her a yibum. Not that she can't do yibum, she can't, there is no yibum if she goes ahead with it. But until she goes ahead with it, you know, and she's just a candidate, and this is what we'll see in Tosis in a second, is it, if this is true or not, you know, so how do we treat the fact that the obstacle to her yibum is some sort of a, you know, threatened status of Eishes Ish, even though right now she's not an Eishes Ish, even vis-a-vis Shimon. But if she were to implement the yibum, she would be an Eishes Ish, and she also wouldn't be a Yavama. Yeah.
She's the
Eishes Ish of Avraham. Avraham divorced her, almanah shelotinasi l'shimon. So if she connects, you know, ishus-wise with Shimon, then that revives her marriage, or in fact, revives the wrong word. It, you know, it triggers l'mafreya, you know, it negates the divorce, and then igloy milsa that she's the wife of Avraham. So if she's the wife of Avraham, you know, then she obviously can't do yibum. She's an Eishes Ish. So that's you know, a chayde misos. And not only that, but she's not even a yavama anymore because she was never married. That obliterates her marriage to Reuven. Yeah, Ellie.
Even without a case of yibum, I'm not 100% getting the fact that if Avram gives her this get amanas shulatinsi pisneila.
The Shimon.
So she tries to marry Shimon, but that then triggers the nullification of the get. And if she was an Eishes Ish always to Avraham, then she never married Shimon. So how did marrying Shimon nullify the get?
Right, so we'll have to see. It's Lotinasi or Lotinasi the Lotivali.
There's never going to be a Nisuin to Shimon. It's like physically impossible.
If he, right, that's true. Why is that a problem?
So how does that, if she never actually marries Shimon, then how does she...
Right, but we're explaining it legally. What we're saying is, because no one suggested, what we're really trying to figure out, in the case of Tosos at least, is not so much whether she can, you know, have Yibum. Everybody will agree there's no Yibum here,
right.
Just like there's no Ishus there. What we're trying to figure out is this obstacle to Yibum an erva obstacle of yibum that can be called Eishes Ish that could in theory fit into the Mishnah, and that would also qualify, you know, for a p'tur tzara, meaning because of this impediment which dictates she'll never be misyavemes, and you're saying she also never, forget about yibum, let's say she went right to Shimon, forget about this complication.
How do you deal with that?
Well, why is that a problem? So we're saying basically by saying this t'nai, you know, by definition, she can never be married to Shimon. Now, the Rajba's of the opinion that because of what you're describing, right, in a way, you could, he's trying to explain that there's a debate in the Gemara in Gittin there, you know, about the relationship between the two cases, Chutz and Almanas. Everybody agrees that chutz is worse. It's a bigger problem, you know, because it's shiur beget. It's not, maybe the hagdara of gittin is heter lekola olam, you know, and if you're mishayer somebody, so did Rabbi Eliezer, in the Mishnah there's an argument between Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim. So one view of the Gemara is they're arguing about shiur beget, about chutz. But even the Chachamim will agree that it's nigh, you know, works. Works in the sense of, you know, that the Tanai will be Chal, and therefore she can't marry him, because there'll be this catch 22, as you're describing it.
No, but what Ellie said.
What?
What he's saying is, it's the two can't coexist,
right.
Yet one can't happen without the other. Plus.
Well, we don't need it to happen.
You know,
it's a way of establishing that it won't happen.
So that's your time.
Right.
But, you know,
it's like a bit of a right. You know, it's like a bit of an enigma, a paradox.
Right. Like she tries to marry Shimon.
But we'll see. That, but here's where it becomes common. So the, no. So even because of that point, also, so the Rajva has a horror like this. So one view of the Gemara is, oh no, the argument about her quits. Rabbi Lona says even Shear works. Meaning, if he makes this, is she mugureshet to the rest of the world when he says that? So that's the art. So one view is that Rabbi Yazar says yes, and the other, and the Chacham say no, because the shiur, the get, is not muteris l'chol adam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Rabbi Yazar says, it doesn't have to be muteris l'chol adam. As long as it's a heter, it doesn't have to include chol adam. Now, they both will agree, right, that, now, again, if it's not almanas, so then he's an asociation, and therefore he can't marry her. End of story. What about almanas? So that maybe would work in the sense that it would, you know, she would be mugreshes l'chol adam, right? And of course, if she tried to marry this person, it would trigger this whole problem. However, one second, so the other view in the Gemara is no. Even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that if he were to say to her, "Harat mataras l'chol adam chutz miploni," straight out, that would not work, because you do have to be mataras l'chol adam. Rabbi Eliezer is arguing about the almanas. He thinks almanas works, and the Chachamim, they say almanas doesn't work. So why doesn't almanas work according to the Chachamim? I mean, why chutz should not work according to Rabbi Eliezer, we can all understand. You have a higher standard of what Muteris L'chol Adam is. Why should this almanas not work? Right? It's a tznai. It's not a tznai that's going to, as you say, it's a catch 22 tznai, but it's a tznai. So it's not nice, but why wouldn't it work? So the answer is one of two things. So some people explain in that Gemara, because of what I alluded to before, that's just why I put it out there, and that is that, again, it's sefer krisos. So it's got to be a davar koris ben olaveina. If she, you know, by, you know, trying to marry somebody, if he's still pulling strings about who she can marry or not marry,
then they're still married.
Then it's, that's not a sefer krisos, which like koris ben olaveina. That's one explanation. The Rajba and others say no, don't even need that, because on a certain level, if he's megarish or chutz, says the Rajba, the Chachamim think that doesn't work, not just because it's a krisus problem. They think it's a chutz problem. Because even though he doesn't use the word chutz, in the end of the day, by saying almanas, she doesn't have the ability to marry, right, Shimon. So even though it wasn't, the reason she can't marry Shimon is because of this, you know, catch 22, this enigma, this paradox, which is what you're pointing out, I mean, she can't marry him. This is, you know, because if she marries him, then she's not married to him, right? So the Rajma says, yeah, and that's why that kind of a tznai is really a shiur beget. It's the equivalent to saying chutz, because it's not as if you could do it and take the consequences, and then a second later, it's you just can't do it. So that's I think that's exactly what you're looking for.
Right. So according to Rabbi Eliezer,
yeah,
if in the case of almanas, where everyone agrees he says almanas is okay, if you were to then,
for Rabbi Eliezer,
yeah.
So Rabbi Eliezer, well,
so if you were
what you'd have to say is he doesn't think that almanas is a shiur.
Yeah.
He thinks it's true that lemaisa befoal, right, it means that you can't marry Shimon,
yeah.
But you can't marry Shimon because of the paradox, not because technically and formally there's a shiur in the get. Is that what you're asking?
So according to him, if you attempted to marry Shimon, you would then still be muteris l'cholodim. We wouldn't say you're now married to Avraham because you attempted to marry Shimon, or which way would it go?
You're saying if she had, if let's say she did Yibla,
or whatever it is, she attempts to...
Right, I don't think she can.
So she would
be an Ashes Ish. Because she would be an Ashes Ish, Lemafreya,
right.
And therefore she wouldn't be able to do it. She wouldn't be able to do it. Right. Which is why I think they think
that's a shiur,
that it ends up being a shiur, even though it wasn't formulated.
But we used to be very medayic on words, and therefore almanas should mean something different than chutz.
No, so what they're saying is that, you know, it's like a backdoor way of, meaning when I say chutz, I'm saying frontally, you know, this divorce is a selective divorce.
Right.
So, and, you know, and the only way that that could be acceptable is if a selective divorce is acceptable. Namely, vis-a-vis the piece of people that I'm divorcing, that I'm being mater her, you know, she's divorced vis-a-vis these people and not vis-a-vis that people, then that would be Rabbi Eliezer Shita, if that's what he holds. But, and, you know, that's why the Gemara is mistape, because that really, does he really want to say that or not? Whereas the almanas either is a krisis problem, right? Or if it ends up being a chutz problem, because it's not a frontal chutz problem, it's a befoal, practical chutz problem, so that maybe Rabbi Eliezer doesn't think that that's a problem. You know what? It doesn't have to be that this gerushin actually, gives her a license to marry whoever she wants. It has to formally, extend to all people from an Isha's point of view. But if the extraneous, we'll see this actually in our actually, it's going to be very relevant to part of the discussion as well. Okay. Anyways, so this is the interesting case that Tosos, but as I say, sometimes it's like an ingenious, you'd think this was like a Mishnah Lamelech or a Minchas Chinuch, scenario. But, it isn't even just Tosos, it's really the Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi in Gittin actually asks this question. Yerushalmi in Gittin and Hamagarish says, how come the Mishnah says in Yevamos that there are 15 ervas who are excluded from Yibum? Right? They should have said that there are 16 and they should have counted Eishes Ish. Although they asked the question, as the Ramban points out, according to Rabbi Eliezer, of Chutz. They say, after all, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who thinks that Chutz, the Ploni, is a valid get, so if you say Chutz May Shimon, and then she goes ahead and marries Reuven, and then Reuven dies, and she becomes a candidate for a Yibum. So the reason that there can't be a Yibum, everybody agrees there's no Yibum. The reason there's no Yibum is because she's an Eishes Ish. So that should be Erva number 16. And I'll just add the words, unlike Rabbi Akiva, Eishes Ish is in the Parsha of Achrimos and of Kedoshim. The two Parshios of Arayos include Eishes Ish. Not only relatives. Mostly it's about relatives. But Eishes Ish is included. Nidas in that Parsha, as we'll discuss. Mishkav Zachar, Mishkav Behema, and Eishes Ish. They're all in there. Right? Not Chayav Lavan of Rabbi Akiva. Okay. So let's read this in time. And then we'll start analyzing it. So Tosa says, Vim Tomar, this is on Yud Amud Aleph on the top of the page. We also have it on the Mar Makomos, I think. Yeah. So, the Gemara is, discusses whether or not there are cases. The reason it's on this Dibur Maskon, it's on this staff, is the Gemara discusses whether or not, matters that are controversial, whether there's an argument over a particular Shita, would that exclude them from being in the Mishnah? Like, even if we paskin like them, but if they're, subject to controversy, maybe they wouldn't be put in the Mishnah. Maybe we only put in the Mishnah the uncontroversial, cases. That's the Gemara's discussion. So Tosa says, the olam leisa the rabbi hani klali b'plukta kamairi. The Gemara is considering the possibility that the Mishnah has cases that are disputed, So Tosa says, Vim Tomar, Lisni Eishes Ish, then count among the Ervas, number 16, right? Shepoteres Tsarasa, Kagon to Amar Hareza Gitech. He, again, Avram says to Sarah, right, I'm giving you this get, Almanas Shalotinasi Leploni, on condition that you not turn around and end up as the wife of Ploni, Shimon, okay? Who's not related to Abraham, but is the, you know, second brother of Reuven in a different family, right? That's how I'm keeping it. Depligi Bahamagaresh, the Gemara in Masechet Gittin argues, Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbanon, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanon have a debate, to the Rabbi Eliezer have a get. Tosis is assuming the day in the Gemara that the argument is about Almanas, not about Chutz, for the moment. And Rabbi Eliezer says that this Tanai is effective, meaning it's not an invalid get. It's a valid get, which then prevents, you know, a marriage